Hi, everyone. Thank you for being here. I'm Jennifer Daly Gress, and this is a podcast where we apply mindfulness in a specific way to create transformational thinking and positive change. The key is in asking better questions. I'm a speaker, a yoga and mindfulness teacher, a former CPA, and mom of three kids. This series of the podcast focuses on how mindfulness is an asset in the corporate world. In each episode, I'll be talking with an expert about an aspect of work life, including communication, entrepreneurship, DEI, and leadership. I love these conversations, and I'm glad that you're here too. Hey friends, thank you for being here today. It is a rainy Labor Day Monday here in Buffalo, and I'm recording a wrap-up episode for the first series of the podcast. What I'm going to do is touch on each of the topics and add a little bit more now that I've had the chance to think about those conversations, and also share what I think are a couple of highlights. What are some of the best questions that we came up with? And personally, I love a little wrap-up episode, so like a summary at the end. And then if you want to go back and listen, if you haven't listened, either way, glad to have you here. And so let's see where we go. First one was entrepreneurship with Colleen Heidinger from 43 North. And the thing that I really remember that she mentioned when we talked about entrepreneurs is the question, what are you willing to eat, breathe, sleep? And she said that that's something that she says a lot because that's the reality of their businesses and the world that they're living in. So I had asked her if money was enough to get people to start businesses and more importantly, to continue to execute on them. And that's when she really said that it's absolutely not, because it has to be something that goes deeper than that in order that they're really going to be able to deal with the ups and downs of everything, especially the downs. That also made me think of something that Sarah Blakely said. So Sarah Blakely is also a classic entrepreneur who started the brand Spanx. And I saw an interview with her a few years ago, and she asked the question, or maybe this might have been on her masterclass. She asked the question, what makes you cry? Which I'm a big crier, so this really resonates for me. What makes you cry and what moves you emotionally? Because if we think about those things, that's the issue that touches you, right? That's the issue that resonates deeply. That's where your heart is. And so that'll create way more energy when things get really tough, when it's difficult to continue going. There has to be something deeper. So I really liked that question about what makes you cry, because that's what we care about, right? That's just that emotional reaction are a lot of information and really good information about what are the issues that we care about. And we all are touched by different things, and that's how it should be, because we need people. There are a lot of issues to solve, and we need people who are touched by different things. So whatever your issue is might not be my issue, and so on and so forth. And especially when talking about entrepreneurship, that's something Colleen and I also spoke about, is what's the problem that they're solving for? So those are the things that we want to notice. Where do we get emotionally connected? And that emotional connection adds a lot of fire to the process, fire in the belly, my husband and I often say. So what are you willing to eat, breathe, sleep? Next, I actually had two episodes with Steve Bell on communication. And when I was going back through my notes for those episodes, two things jumped out at me. One, listening. And two, respect. Steve made a point of saying that listening is something that we can all work on. That's a skill that can be trained. I think that goes for a lot of different things too, just getting slightly off track here. Whether it's patience is just the one that comes to my mind, because I don't consider myself to be a very patient person. And then especially in being a mom and having kids, that's something that I work really hard on, and it's probably not my usual default, but I work really hard at it. And so it's a skill, just like anything, that I have to practice to get better at. So Steve said that listening is similar. And of course, as human beings, I think we want to talk more. So it takes some discipline also to do more listening. And then with respect, that is something that I see so lacking. That's actually a major concern for me, because in the current climate, I mean, I don't need to give a million examples. I'm sure everybody can point to their own, where respect is lacking in our general cultural dialogue, whether that's on a social media platform or even, you know, noticing people like driving in the parking lot, that kind of stuff, just your everyday interactions. That's something that also we can practice and work on is respect. So here's a question that I came up with after thinking about those two things. What is in the way of our listening or communicating respectfully? So if I look at myself, if I'm ever in a, if I'm at a point where I don't want to communicate respectfully, let's just say I want to lash out or just make a really snarky or sarcastic comment, it's usually coming, what's in the way of that is usually some kind of emotion or my ego. So that emotion could be like anger, fear, frustration. It could also be the emotion of I already know, or like I'm right, which is really another form of ego. So those are the things that are in the way. Right? So maybe a question to consider is what's in the way of listening or communicating respectfully? I could also say that my lack of patience is also in the way of me listening sometimes, because maybe it's taking someone longer than I'd like to explain themselves or explain something. And so I find myself mentally checking out and not really listening, right? And being impatient. Okay. Next episode was on diversity, equity, and inclusion with Catherine Earle. And the key question that we got to in that episode was, what are you doing? Just what are you doing to be a contribution in that space, in that realm, to make a better environment for human beings? And I think something that's missing here is that I know I needed to be much more educated on the history of people not being included, whether it's the history of racism, segregation, gender inequity, all of that, lack of representation. That's something that is obviously ongoing, like can't learn all of it. And there's really a lot more to be learned than certainly than I learned in school, for example, I'll just say that. So by learning more about the history, that helps us to understand more about where we are today and why we are where we are today, I think. And also listening more, going back to listening, it's all tied together, listening more to people's lived experiences. That's something that, you know, and believing people's lived experiences. So I'm not going to have the same experience as anyone else. Everything that I'm seeing is through my own eyes. So like the mindfulness part of it is like stepping out of my own experience and really listening openly to someone else's and being empathetic to that too. Something that I see, in, like I'll just use for an example, in the Buffalo News, I like to read the opinion page where people write in letters and just to get the, you know, kind of the local temperature of what are the issues going on that people care about, that they feel compelled to write about. And sometimes the comment section, I'll say most of the time, can be very disheartening. And again, I know it's a place where a lot of times you find just a lot of vitriol and things like that. But sometimes I look at it and what I think, it's so hard to read. It's so hard to read that sometimes because again, going back to communicating respectfully, I don't understand. This is getting a side note. I don't understand what possesses people to write that kind of stuff. That's maybe another whole topic in question. But a lot of it I see is people not wanting to acknowledge that there's any kind of an issue with inequality. Let's say in our city, like right now we're talking about diversity, equity, and inclusion. And just by the geography and the numbers, right, statistically, it's objectively verified that Buffalo is one of the top 10 most segregated cities in our country. And there are a lot of ramifications for that, including lack of employment, lack of investment in neighborhoods and infrastructure, lack of fresh food, education, underemployment, unemployment, lack of health resources. There's just so many other implications. And what frustrates me a lot is seeing people who write in that want to completely either minimize or ignore that there's ever that there's an issue at all, and they put it all on the people that live in those neighborhoods, people of color in particular, and make it all their fault. And to me, that 100% ignores the history of what's been going on. So like, the question that I would want to ask them is, what would your neighborhood look like if it had been redlined and disinvested for decades, and you didn't have your sidewalks paved, and you had lots of empty lots, and you didn't have the lights properly working in your streets, and all that kind of thing. And there was a larger presence of poverty there. Like, what would that look like? And then, you know, why are you so quick to judge other people, many of whom love their neighborhood and are doing everything they can to improve it? So that kind of thing really frustrates me. And the thing is, if we don't acknowledge that there's an issue, then it's perfect, because it's a perfect way to let ourselves off the hook of actually doing anything about it. If there's no issue, then, well, I guess there's nothing for me to do. There's nothing for me to change. There's nothing for me to worry about. And that is just flatly not the case. So that's my thought on that. All right, moving on to community. Conversation with Steve Procknell, and how can we each be a contribution in our community? This follows up so perfectly with the what are you doing question, because, you know, like it or not, or just the reality is, we are all part of a community, you know, our family community, work community, etc. And I think that no matter what, right, we're having an impact, whether we are conscious of it or not. So are we being a contribution, or are we like simply just kind of taking things from the community? So what is there that we can do that could be a greater contribution to the community? I'll leave that as an open-ended question, because there's so many different things that we could do about that. Lastly, leadership. This was with Mikkel Sherry, and we talked a lot about female leadership in particular. Something that I thought about a bit more subsequent to our conversation was, how do I judge male and female leaders differently? And what does it look like to confront my own bias with that? So an example is there a female leader that both sexes, all sexes, everybody can rally around and really look to as inspirational? And I was even kind of thinking through history. I honestly couldn't really think of somebody, because any female leader that I can think of just seemed to be so polarizing. It wasn't like she was a real universal type of leader. I mean, okay, maybe Mother Teresa, let's just say, but I'm looking outside of the realm of, you know, charitable works and that kind of thing. But thinking about either a political leader was the first place that I was thinking, political leader, or even a business leader. I don't know that I can really think of somebody that's universally really appreciated by both men and women. So if anyone has ideas, DM me on that, because I hope there's somebody that I'm missing. You know, whereas when you think about men as leaders, I mean, I look up to a lot of men as leaders, and there are way more people to choose from. So, let's look at another aspect of bias. So this was, again, the first one that came to my mind was, we're going to get a little political here, but the number of marriages and children that a leader has, and how do people perceive that? So like, just again, let's be factual here, but looking at Donald Trump, and there's like lots of different aspects to him, but I'm just going to focus on the one aspect which I'm talking about, which is the marriages and children. So he's been married 3 times and has 5 children by these 3 different wives. Now, that really didn't come up very much, I would say. Like, that wasn't really a pro or a con point when it came to his campaign or being elected president. Now, on the other hand, if there was a female running for that, let's say running for president, and that was in her background, that she had been married, she was on her 3rd marriage, and that she had 5 children and had 3 different fathers. Now, I'm going to say that would be a humongous issue, like a really big issue that perhaps people would attack her for and would not be able to get over. So it's just to say, like, we have to be willing to question that. I think, like, even myself, I know that I would have a gut reaction if I, you know, like, oh, you know, what's going on with her? And that's really not fair. It's just, I don't know. The reality is, like, let's be honest, I don't know. The reality is actually, I don't know what's going on with anybody. So who am I to really judge? Like, I don't know what's going on there. So to judge, now I can discern, right? I like the word discern, can discern, you know, different things about their actions, or again, their leadership, their communication, their policies, that kind of thing. And when it comes to judging people, I'm talking about judging people on personal life or personal traits, or let's say looks or things like that. I myself have a ton of bias that I have to note. And then, you know, hopefully just, again, notice that's in between me and making a really objective decision, and step in front of that or neutralize that in some way, at least to notice it. Okay. I think that's pretty good for now. So we will leave it at that. And it's also a segue into the next series of the podcast. So I'm going to take a couple of weeks off here as we begin the school year and I'm working on some other things. I would love to do some more episodes and focus on women in the workplace. And in particular, what does it look like to create different chapters in your career? I know that's really been my experience because my career looked like, you know, very traditional move from college after I graduated into the accounting and finance profession. And then there was the chapter of having babies and little children, and it goes from there. And now my kids are getting a little bit older, and I'm shifting into another chapter, and at least doing my best to do that. So that I find very, very interesting, especially as we grow and change, and maybe what we want to do later in our careers is very different from what we thought it might be or what we studied when we were in college. So let's see where that goes. So that will be in a couple of weeks' time. And again, thanks for listening today. I hope that you enjoyed listening to the first few episodes of the podcast. I definitely learned a lot while I was doing it. And I am open and interested in your feedback and the questions that come up for you by listening. Because again, I realize that these are really big, challenging topics. These are the topics. So it's definitely not about coming up with answers, but hopefully asking better questions. Thanks, and see you soon. Thank you for listening. I appreciate your time, and I'd love to hear your thoughts or connect. You can email me directly at jenniferdailygress@gmail.com or find me on LinkedIn or Instagram, also at jenniferdailygress.